The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome in the name of our risen and ascended Lord and Savior Jesus. We celebrate the ascension of our Lord. It is a major festival in the church, and yet it is one that is misunderstood and forgotten and all kinds of silly things. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear His Word and receive His gifts. A couple of words on our worship service for this evening. Our opening hymn, number 492, on Christ's Ascension, I Now Build. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1. It's on page 151 and following. We have a special worship insert for the evening. Propers are on one side, the readings are on the other. Special focus will be on the second reading from Acts chapter 1 tonight. The hymn of the day, we sadly have a typo in the bulletin. We'll make sure that we announce that at the time. But our hymn of the day is correct. See the Lord ascends in triumph. But the number is incorrect. It is 494. 494. And we'll make sure we make that announcement. Won't we, Vicar? Yes, we will. Okay. We'll make sure we make that announcement. And because of the nature of the service and sermon, after the sermon, we'll confess the Apostles' Creed this evening. I think that's enough announcements. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for calling us by the Gospel, enlightening us with Your gifts, and bringing to us Your holy and precious kingdom. Teach us where to look for You, where Your Word is proclaimed in its truth and purity, and Your gifts given according to Your command and promise. May we cling to these words, to these gifts, to these promises, to Your holy and precious gospel today and tomorrow and forever. All these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified, risen, and ascended, to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 492.
Order of Worship, Divine Service, Setting Number 1, page 151, page 151, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to the words of our introit. We chant them together as printed on your bulletin insert.
From above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, Let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Almighty God, as your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, ascended into the heavens, so may we also ascend in heart and mind, and continually dwell there with Him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the Ascension of our Lord is from 2 Kings chapter 2. The sons of the prophet who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets went also and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water. And the water was parted to the one side and to the other, till the two of them could go over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please, let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so. And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. And he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho saw him opposite them, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Acts chapter 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the gospel reading. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. Afterward, Jesus appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. This is the Gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hymn 494. Please be seated.
Men of Galilee, why do we stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, they were gazing up into heaven. Jesus had physically, bodily, ascended into the clouds. They were gazing up into heaven. Two angels appeared. They said, "Don't gaze up into heaven. Go. Wait. Just a few days. God will be sending power from on high. Power so that you will be witnesses. Witnesses to the whole world. Don't gaze up into the sky." The disciples were confused. The disciples had a question. A question that Jesus doesn't directly answer. "Lord, at this time are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" Israel. We have a lot of talk about Israel, don't we? It's in the news all the time. Our president just visited Israel. Israel is big news. Should we move the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem? After all, Jerusalem is the capital. Jerusalem is where the kingdom of Israel is at, right? How easy it is to get caught up in all of the political things and fall into the same trap as the disciples as they stood gazing up into the sky. Why were they gazing? Well, they wanted to know where Jesus was. Why were they gazing? Because they didn't think that Jesus was done. They didn't think he had finished his job. "You can't leave yet, Jesus. You have not restored the kingdom to Israel. Get back down here. Get on your throne." My friends, today, as we celebrate the ascension of our Lord, we need to hear what God's Word teaches us about the kingdom of Israel. There are millions and millions of sincere Christians that truly believe that before Judgment Day, Jesus will return. Some secretly, some say visibly, and he will sit on David's throne in Jerusalem, and he will restore the kingdom of Israel, a mass conversion of the Jews, and finally do the job that he didn't get done before he ascended into heaven. Millions believe this. Millions build their entire ministry and a few book sales on this misguided notion. It is a fundamental misunderstanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? God sends his Son, God in the flesh, Jesus, into this world to save sinners. Sinners who cannot save themselves. Sinners like you and me. Jesus places himself under God's holy law, and he completes it. He fulfills it perfectly for you, for me, for everyone. Jesus, even though he has committed no sin, Jesus willingly becomes our substitute, taking the hit, our penalty, paying the price that we owe for our sin. He takes it into himself, onto himself, all the way to an old rugged cross where he bleeds and dies. It is finished. Everything necessary for our salvation is completed. God's stamp of approval upon the work and the words of Jesus comes 3 days later when the dead body, the corpse of Jesus, is risen from the dead, never to die again. For 40 days, we heard in our epistle reading, for 40 days, Jesus went around and gave many convincing proofs that it wasn't a ghost, it wasn't a mirage, it wasn't a myth, it wasn't a trick. It is real. Touch me. Give me a hug. Let's eat breakfast together. Let's go fishing. Sometimes he appeared to a few. Sometimes he appeared to a large group, 500 at one time. For 40 days, he gave many convincing proofs that he was really alive. This is the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And God's Word teaches that wherever this gospel is proclaimed, there is the kingdom of Israel. The church, the holy Christian church that hears and believes this good news, is the new Israel. You, baptized brothers and sisters in Christ, you are part of the new Israel. It has always been this way. Israel is the church. The church is Israel. As we sang in that hymn, all of the heroes of faith of the Old Testament are our heroes. Enoch, Joshua, Elijah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, is your God and mine. This is the kingdom of Israel. God's word is clear. Galatians 3. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The truth is has nothing to do with that piece of ground that was established by the United Nations in May of 1948, carved out of Palestine. The kingdom of Israel has nothing to do with political kingdoms and armies and strength and might. Christ rules the church with his word. His holy and precious word. Not with political figures, not with armies, not with nuclear weapons. He rules the church with his grace, with his holy and precious word. It's so sad when many otherwise good, honest, and sincere Christians are deluded by all of the nonsense that is so prevalent in the world, especially here in the United States. Jesus told Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world, and yet there are so many that try to make things up using the Bible for their proof text. These folks are called dispensationalists. They divide the history of the world into seven dispensations. We are living in number six. During every dispensation, there is a specific trial or test that comes to Christians. The test now is the gospel. The sixth dispensation is not the big one. It's the one to come. Everyone is gazing up into the sky. Why? They're waiting for the new dispensation. They're waiting for Jesus to come. They're waiting for him to come and establish his throne in Jerusalem. They're waiting for him to rapture up Christians. And the rest are left behind for a little season, a little while. Left to fend for themselves. And then, only then, will there be a time of peace and prosperity in the world. It might make for good fiction to support this nonsense. And even worse, it takes the focus off of Christ crucified and risen for you. Christians aren't the only ones who are gazing up into the sky. There are many others in this world, and they don't even have to be in a church, that are sky gazers as well. The Communist Party and the Communist philosophy teaches that when the proletariat finally achieves power and the masses are able to give everything to the controlling party, and the controlling party gives everything out as people need, then there will be peace and harmony in the world. Sheer and utter nonsense. Adherents of Islam teach that when all people finally bow down and worship Allah as the one true God and truly submit to Him, then there will be peace and harmony in the world. Even more sheer nonsense. My friends, don't get caught up with the sky gazing and wondering where the kingdom of God is. How the kingdom of God works. Is it in Israel? Is it in Jerusalem? Is it in Europe? Is it someplace else? We pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. God's kingdom comes, we learn in the Catechism, even without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it would come among us also. How does God's kingdom come? God's kingdom comes when God the Father gives us, by His grace, the Holy Spirit, so that we would believe His word and live godly lives here in time and there for all eternity. Where the word of God is proclaimed, there is God's kingdom. Where the sacraments are administered according to the command and promise of God, there is God's kingdom. You have been baptized into the kingdom of God. You don't have to wonder that somehow Jesus is stuck at the right hand of God. And because Jesus is true man, He can't be multiple places at the same time. How dare you put God in God? Jesus sits at the right hand of God, which is not a position of location, as if He was in Omaha or Lincoln or Denton or Hickman or even Unadilla. No. Jesus fills all things. Jesus promises to be with us always. He said, it is better for you if I go away. Why? So that He could fill all things and by the power of the Holy Spirit, through word and sacrament, be with us. Be with us in our pain. Be with us in our hurt. Be with us in our sorrow. Be with us in our sickness. Be with us in our joy. Be with us in our sin. And by the power of God's holy and precious word, to declare by that power, my son, my daughter, your sins are forgiven. Not because of some rules you follow, not because you found Jesus in the right location, no. But by the power of the word, which connects us to the bloody death and glorious resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The same thing who would have Jesus be in the box, stuck at the right hand of the Father, so that He can be with us in baptism, or the Lord's Supper, or by the proclamation of the word. They are the same types of people who want to put Jesus in a box and sit on a throne in Jerusalem. My friends, him is here, right now. You are the kingdom of Israel, right here, right now, in this place. God's word is clear. It is his good news for you. So, on this Ascension Day, where is Jesus? Well, in one respect, you could say, he's in my heart. There's nothing wrong with that. By grace, through faith, Jesus dwells in you. Where is Jesus? Enthroned in power and glory at the right hand of God, Revelation 5, ruling all things by the power of his word. Not with guns, not with armies, not with politicians, but with his holy and precious. Where is Jesus? Right here. Wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Where is Jesus? In your balding pastor's mind, as he proclaims the truth of God's word to you. Where is Jesus? In with another bread and wine, given and shed for you, for forgiveness, life, and salvation. My friends, we have no need to wonder where Jesus is. We have no need to try to set or fix a date of when he will return. That's nonsense. False teachers do that stuff. Rather, we rejoice that God has given us his kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, right here and right now. And Jesus dwells in our midst, with us and for us, now and for all eternity. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. This same Jesus, risen and ascended, seated at the right hand of God, interceding for us, invites us to bring our prayers and our petitions to him. Please stand now.
In addition to the prayer requests listed in your news and notes, we also remember Al Fox, father of Good Shepherd member Nancy Stepp, who was hospitalized following his surgery yesterday. We remember Marianne Threshold, who is struggling with a variety of health concerns. We pray for Bonnie Nyder, who is anticipating surgery on Friday.
Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship, pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship tonight. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of God's kingdom here and now for you would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Stand and sing the offertory, page 159. Salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who after his resurrection appeared openly to all his disciples, and in their sight was taken up into heaven, that he might make us partakers of his divine life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, We laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy, your sins are forgiven.
Amen. Amen.
We stand and we sing our post-communion canticle, Thank the Lord, page 164. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
May be seated for our closing hymn, 488. 488.
Crucified, risen, and ascended for you. I encourage you to check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes for the activities and events happening in the days and weeks ahead. You heard in our prayers that at a special voters meeting this past Sunday, the congregation voted to issue a divine call to, first name, Marilee Sump. Marilee Sump from Clarinda, Iowa. We are keeping her in our prayers, and we pray that God would lead her to a decision, and we're selfishly praying that that decision would be to come and teach here at Good Shepherd. So keep that in your thoughts and prayers as well. The big thing that we have coming up now is Vacation Bible School. Sign-up sheets are out there for helpers and crafts and teachers and all that kind of stuff. Mostly we need kids to sign up, and so help us get the word out. I did not see any packets out there yet. So soon, very soon, there'll be some packets out there, and you can help distribute those in the neighborhoods around the church or in your own neighborhood as well, so that we can get the word out. Our Vacation Bible School will have a Reformation theme this year as we celebrate the 500th anniversary of Luther nailing the 95 Theses on the church door in Wittenberg. No choir. We're done with choir. There'll be some small groups through the summer, but we're officially done with choir for the summer. But there will be Bible study, Luke 1 and 2, in the fellowship hall. Lifelight, tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We still doing Mark, or are we starting Hebrews, or what are we doing? Okay, Hebrews on tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. So that'll be a new Lifelight Bible study. So look forward to that. Anything else, Pastor? Oh, yes. Lots of excitement this Sunday. We have our member who just completed his first year at the seminary, Mark Kranz. He and his family will be back this weekend. Mark will be preaching on Sunday, so we're excited about that. And we'll have a little fellowship gathering thing for the family during the Sunday school time as well. So we pray for safe travel for the Kranzes and look forward to hearing his first sermon among us on Sunday. That'll be lots of fun. Vicar, have a great day and week in the kingdom of Israel. Amen.